The Basin loves sports.
Hello.
Designed run for Janney. Right side. Janney going for the end zone, and he's got it. Touchdown, Henley.
That one's hit deep to left. No one's going to take that away. It is gone. A solo home run for Pua Cam Elborn ties this one up at one.
Join us as we break down the biggest games and meet the biggest stars. From the 960 Sports Studios in downtown Klamath Falls, presented by Gino's Cafe, it's Ballin' in the Basin with Josh Eldridge and Matt Bowling.
Good evening and welcome to the program tonight on 104.3 and 960 Sports. This is Ballin' in the Basin. We are live here at Gino's on East Main Street. My name is Josh Eldridge, joined as always by Matt Bowling. How are you?
Doing great.
It's a great day to be here at Gino's. It is Wing Wednesday. Come on out and join us. Dollar Wings all night long. We're here till 7 o'clock, and you can join us along with our two guests coming up tonight. Later on in the show, we'll talk with Oregon Tech baseball player Corey Siracusa, and then, of course, Henley softball player Bell Birch will be joining us later on in the show to talk about the seasons and a little bit about themselves as we continue on through tonight's program. We'll also try to make time to talk a little Oregon Tech softball. Picked up a pretty big sweep yesterday against Simpson to extend their winning streak. Try to get to it all as we begin our local hour, and we'll jump into it with local high school baseball and softball. And we'll lead things off with the Henley baseball team, as the Hornets have had four games since our show a week ago, and in that time, they are unbeaten. They beat Klamath Union in the league opener last Thursday, 13-1. They went on to North Marion for two games and two shutout wins, 8-0 over the Dalles and Duffer, and 7-0 over North Marion and Gervais. Neither one of those teams were particularly strong this season. The Dalles are ranked 30th out of 31 teams. The Huskies are ranked 22nd, so no surprise that Henley was able to handle business there. And yesterday, Henley beat Mazama in their return to Skyline Conference play, 18-2. Or 17-2, depending on who you ask. The final score on the scoreboard said 17-2. OSAA says 17-2, but both scorebooks say 18-2. So take with that what you will. Either way, it's a Henley victory. The Hornets jumped out to a 10-run lead in the first inning, and they never looked back. Bo Pyle got the win, pitched four innings, allowed just one hit, struck out three. He also had a great day at the dish. 3-for-3, 5 RBI, a double, and a triple. Carson Sims added two more doubles. Mark Carpenter had a double as well. So an overall good offensive showing for Henley, who looks to carry the momentum into a true test coming up on Friday as they take on Hidden Valley New Hope Christian, the Mustangs. Hidden Valley is ranked 6th in the state right now. They are 7-2, but they are coming off a loss to a 3A team in Cascade Christian. But regardless, this should be the game to watch this week, and we'll be there for the broadcast at Henley on Friday.
Henley softball also 4-0 since our last show. They won 12-0 over Klamath Union Cross Point Christian last Thursday, 7-6 and 5-4 over the Dalles Duffer in a doubleheader on Saturday, and 16-8 over Mazama yesterday. We have recaps of those first three games up on mybasin.com, and we'll be talking about that doubleheader with our guest Bell Birch later in the show. But that game yesterday, Henley had a 14-1 lead entering the fifth inning. They were three outs away from a run rule, but they gave up four runs, including two with two outs to extend the game, and gave up three more in the bottom of the sixth. Even though they probably would have liked to close out that run rule, it was still a very strong showing offensively for the Hornets. They had six players with at least one RBI and three with at least two. Anna Harper led the way with three RBI, two of which came on a two-run home run. The other came on a bases-loaded walk. She drew four walks in that game.
That's remarkable.
Natalie Hudson, though, back-to-back solo homers in the third and fourth innings. I will tell you what, Josh, the power hitting is still very much there for the Hornets. They're up to seven home runs as a team in their first nine games. They've got their home opener on Friday against Hidden Valley New Hope Christian. The Mustangs are 9-2, also number six in the 4A computer rankings, just like the baseball team. And that game will also be on mybasin.com.
Man, if there's a place to be on Friday, it's at Henley High School. Whether it's watching baseball or watching softball, should be a couple of great games. Switching gears to Klamath Union, we'll start with the baseball team. After their loss to Henley last week, Klamath Union, they turned the page quickly. They forgot about it. They picked up wins over Mazama back on Friday, and then another win over Phoenix last night. It's a great sign that KU can kind of take a punch and bounce back. Past KU baseball teams, I think past KU sports teams as a whole might not have been able to bounce back as well as this baseball team. team has, and they've already matched their win total from a season ago. One more win would be the most since 2019. This program is on the upswing, and they're getting gritty wins, too. Specifically, this one yesterday, a 9-4 win over Phoenix. On the mound, the Pelicans had no issues. P.J. Safford went the distance. He's a reliable arm. He allowed one earned run, striking out six batters in the complete game. But at the plate, this is why I think it's gritty. No extra base hits for KU in the game. They hit 12 singles, and they strung enough together to earn the win. And Tilden Kaufman just continues to impress me this season. We had him on the show last week. He was our Athlete of the Week last week. But another stellar day, going 2-for-3 with 3 RBI. He leads the team in RBI with 14 as a leadoff hitter. That's a rarity to have your top guy leading in RBI. Next best on the team is Reese Johnson and P.J. Safford. They're both tied with 7, so doubling up for Tilden Kaufman, that's never a bad thing. They've got a non-league doubleheader on Friday against Madras, and hopefully, for the Pelicans' sake, they can stay hot heading into the league game against Hidden Valley next week.
When your leadoff hitter has that many RBI, it speaks to the quality of the 7, 8, 9 guys and their ability to get on base.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that's really a positive sign for the Pelicans. Softball, though, it has been some tough sledding for the Klamath Union. Crosspoint Christian Co-op, they're 0-3 in the past week with run rule losses to Henley, Mazama, and Phoenix. Now, we have discussed this before. This is a very young team with mostly underclassmen in the lineup. And at least for the Henley game that I was at, they had multiple starters missing. So a few players playing out of position just to fill those gaps, kind of an unfortunate situation to have when you're trying to build some momentum with a young team. But Pelicans are going to look to get back in the win column when they travel to 3A North Valley for a doubleheader on Saturday. They also travel to Hidden Valley New Hope Christian next Wednesday.
Switch over to Mazama baseball, which we kind of at this point have covered by proxy when speaking about Henley and Klamath Union, but I do want to spend a little bit more time with it. Yesterday was the first time that I'd seen this group in person, and it's another thing we've been talking about, how young this group is. I think there was a fair amount of nerves coming in to play Henley, which is totally understandable. I mean, as long as these freshmen and sophomores have been kids, they've seen Henley win the league title, you know, 80% of the time or whatever it's been. So playing against them for the first time, a little nerves is understandable. The first inning was troubling for Mazama as they needed 3 pitchers to escape that first inning. But the last guy in, a sophomore, Silas Capitan, was fairly impressive, all things considered. He did give up 7 earned runs, gave up 10 hits, but he did strike out 5 batters. And honestly, throughout the at-bats, even if Henley batter would eventually win, they looked off balance in the first couple of pitches. So I think that it was a promising performance for him. And this team is still young, like I said. There's obvious optimism and, well, good founded optimism around the Mazama baseball program. And while this year will have growing pains, I think it will pay off down the line for the Vikings.
Softball, it's been an up-and-down week for Mazama. 10-0 loss to Hidden Valley New Hope Christian last Wednesday, 11-1 win over Klamath Union Crosspoint Christian on Friday, and then the 16-8 loss to Henley yesterday. But if you're looking at it through a Vikings lens, there was a lot of positives to take away from yesterday's game. They're about to get run ruled, but they came back and forced it to go the distance, especially when you go back to last year. Henley, three-inning run ruled Mazama twice, 15-0 each time, and then the Vikings had to forfeit the last two games because of a lack of available players. So already tangible improvement from that team. They're only 3 wins away from matching last season's total. But getting back to yesterday, I think the headline event should be Maggie Pisano, Oregon Tech signee, breaking the Mazama program record for career home runs. She hit one in the first inning. She's now got 14 in a Vikings uniform. She, Armita Kirkpatrick, Brooklyn Nickerson all had 2 RBI. Mazama has a turnaround. They played right now. They're playing right now at 3A Lakeview. And the score currently tied at 15.
Holy cow.
In the top of the 7th inning. Vikings staging a rally here. They've scored 6 runs. They were down 15-9 and have come back to tie the game.
Wow.
Armita Kirkpatrick is 4-for-5 with 6 RBI, including a home run. Man, I'm going to have to take a closer look at these stats once we get off this show because, 16-15. They've just taken the lead. How about that?
That's incredible.
Live updates here. Really, another late rally for Mazama, but this one, it looks like they're giving themselves a chance to pull off a win here. Great stuff from the Vikings. So after this game, they'll travel to Phoenix on Friday. Phoenix currently 5-1, ranked number 5 in the 4A computer rankings, and then they travel to 3A North Valley on Tuesday for a doubleheader.
I want to dip down to the 2A and 1A teams. We'll start with Lost River. The Raiders baseball team is 2-1 in their three games since our last show. They split with Illinois Valley, winning 7-2, and then they lost 6-4. And then yesterday they blanked Bonanza 10-0. A catalyst in both of Lost River's wins during this time has been Kyle Diaz being the starting pitcher in both of their wins, and he's been lights out. In the win against the Cougars, Diaz nearly pitched a complete game, just missed the final out, but he only allowed two hits, one earned run. He struck out seven batters. And then yesterday against Bonanza, he pitched four innings, allowed just one hit, and again struck out six batters. The Raiders are now perfect 500, 4-4 overall, 2-2 in league play, and they will wrap up the season series with Bonanza on Friday.
Softball since our last show, the Raiders 2-1. They've split a doubleheader at Illinois Valley. That's a league matchup. Lost the first leg 8-5, won the second 22-7. Again, came on Tuesday, hosted Bonanza, won 21-0. Now, we don't have stats for these lower classification teams. A lot of them aren't on game changers, so a bit difficult to get those there. But Lost River, 6-3 now, 2-1 in league play. They're number 7 in the 2A, 1A computer rankings. They will travel to Bonanza for a doubleheader on Friday, then travel to 3A Lakeview on Monday.
Let's talk about Bonanza, and we'll start with the baseball team. The Antlers have had four games since our last show, and they are 1-3 in that time. They lost a tough one to Glendale on Thursday, 7-6. They got the tying run to third base and had what was likely a sure thing base hit to tie, but the runner who was on first made contact with the baseball and it was in play, so offensive interference unfortunately ended the Antlers' comeback bid, but they recovered nicely when they faced the Pirates on Friday, opening the doubleheader with a 12-2 win. Colby Madero struck out 11 batters in the win, but the final game against Glendale, the Pirates completely flipped the script and exploded for 20 runs in a 15-run victory. Bonanza committed 5 errors, leading to 10 unearned runs from Glendale. And then lastly, like we talked about, the game against Lost River yesterday, just a 10-0 loss, was a struggle. The Antlers only recorded 2 hits in the shutout loss. Colby Medeiros had a base hit, and Jared Renko had the other hit for Bonanza. They'll try to right the ship on Friday against Lost River before they play Mazama on Tuesday.
Softball, Bonanza still looking for their first win. They're 0-5 overall, 0-4 in league play. They've been run ruled in all of their games. They got swept 3 games by Glendale. Lost the opening game of their series at Lost River on Tuesday. They host Lost River, as I just mentioned, on Friday. Then they'll host Chiloquin on Tuesday.
Talk a little bit about Cross Point Christian Baseball. They have also had a rough go of things since our last show. In 5 games, they are 1-4. They lost to Riddle on Thursday 18-11 and split with them on Saturday, winning 19-6, then losing 5-1. And then yesterday, they were swept in a doubleheader against Rogue River. 12-2 was the final in both of those games. Again, this is one of those cases where this is a really young team, 8 freshmen, and as expected, there are to be growing pains. However, one of those freshmen, Nate Gibson, is leading the team in batting with a .538 average, followed by sophomore Nathan Bowman hitting .353. As a team, the Warriors are only hitting .191, but these young guys are putting up some good production here about a third of the way through the season, so there are some bright spots to look forward to. The Warriors are off until Saturday, where they will play the 6th best team in the 2A, 1A class. That's Oak Ridge in a doubleheader.
Chiloquin softball, it's opening day for the Queens. They're the last Basin team to get their season started. They're hosting the Lakeview JV team right now. We do not have a score for that one. On Friday, they will travel to the Lakeview JV team, and then on Tuesday they travel to Bonanza.
We'll wrap things up south of the border with Tule Lake. Again, no softball team this year for Tule Lake, but we do know what's going on with the baseball club. They were able to grab 2 wins after their 3-week layoff. The Honkers defeated Dunsmuir 10-0 and 8-0. I'll always say a win is a win, and you should always feel good about a W, but also Dunsmuir has been outscored 93-3 in their first 6 games, so take that as you will. Tule Lake is 4-4 on the season, 2-0 in Evergreen League play, and they've got Plumas Charter coming up tomorrow, so another chance for the Honkers to try and scrape together a couple of wins against a sub-500 team, and like I said, that's coming up tomorrow. So there's a little rundown in high school baseball and softball. As always, Henley's going to be broadcast on Friday on mybasin.com. You can also hear the baseball team right here on this station on 104.3 and 960 Sports. We're going to step aside and switch gears. When we come back, we'll have Oregon Tech baseball player Corey Syracusa joining us here in the booth at Gino's Cafe down on East Main Street. This is Ballin' in the Basin, so keep it right here.
Jordan is with us with Smoke and H Barbecue up at the Tap House and talking about the good stuff.
Yeah, we got everything you need. We started doing breakfast now, so we have our breakfast burritos or breakfast skillet. And then for lunch, we've got your tri-tip sandwich, brisket sandwich, pulled pork, baby back ribs. We do that for lunch or dinner. Our hours are 10 to 8 every day but Wednesday. You can also get loaded baked potatoes, loaded fries, best food in the basin.
Smoke and H Barbecue up at the Tap House.
Josh Eldridge and Matt Bowling back with you from downtown on East Main Street here at Geno's for Ballin' in the Basin, rolling on through our show tonight. And Matt, we've got our first guest here in the booth.
Oregon Tech Baseball senior second baseman Corey Siracusa is with us in the booth. Corey, welcome.
Yep. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, but I'm fired up to be here.
Cool, man.
All right, let's start with this past weekend against Eastern Oregon. You had definitely your best weekend of the season. 7 of 11 at the plate with 5 RBI across those four games. What was working so well for you there? Had you made any kind of adjustments to your plate approach coming in?
Yeah, I think my biggest adjustment was just not trying to do too much. It's really easy, especially like in your last season, to try to be the superhero, be, you know, the best player out there every single time, every single pitch. But taking a step back at it, looking at it, we came into last series with 16 games left for sure. So we just all kind of bought in. Our whole team bought into the approach that, you know, we got 16 games left together. We're going to play for each other. We're going to do our jobs, do what we need to do to win out and hopefully host another conference tournament at home.
Yeah, you guys are 9-3 now in your last 12 games. And I want to go back to the beginning of that frame because you lost the opening game of your home series against College of Idaho 3-2. Came back and won the next three games by a combined score of 32-3. Now, I talked to your head coach, Ricky Walker, after the last game of that series, and he said he kind of had a heart-to-heart with you guys after that first game. So looking back, how much of a spark would you say that was, not just for the rest of that series, but for the run that you've been on since?
Right, and that's kind of the start of when we came up with the idea, like, this is our last year together. Like, we got this many games together. Like, we need to tone it together, bring it together, and just kind of fight for each other. Every out's important. Every play is important. And not to say one play makes or breaks the game, but one play can for sure sway it one way or another. And we like to use this thing called Lady Momentum. And we play big off of that. So if you notice, our pitchers, they get fired up. That fires our batters up. Our batters fire our pitchers back up, and it just kind of goes hand in hand. Our defense is playing well, our offense is firing on all cylinders. Like, we're a really hard team to beat.
So after that series, you traveled to Lewis Clark State, ranked number 20 in the NAIA at that time, and you split that series 2-2, which is a really excellent result considering how hard it is to win there. The second game of that series, you won it in 17 innings, the longest game in both programs' histories. What was that like for you? What's going through your mind as you're essentially playing two games in one?
Right. I mean, shoot, a million different things are going through your mind. There's the negative aspect where you don't want to strike out. You don't want to make an error. There's the positive aspect of it where you could be the hero. You could be the guy that finishes this, sends us home on a happy note. And just fighting for each other. That's what it comes down to, man. Like, we could be exhausted. We do a lot of mental training where your mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imaginary. So your body can take a certain amount of damage where your mind tells it to stop. But in reality, like, we use 30% of our energy, but we still have 70% left in the tank. So really diving into that and finding your reason why was a big key for that. I think looking into the future of the season, we're going to look back at this game, this 17-inning game, and say that's the turning point of our season.
What I'm going to assume that's the longest game that you've ever been in.
Right.
Do you remember what the longest one was before that?
Shoot. I want to say like 12 or 13 innings, but nothing like that.
So you guys are 25-11 overall now, 16-9 in conference play. You're fourth in the standings, but with three series left in the regular season for each team, each of the three teams above you still has to play the other two. So you guys are three games out of third and four games out of first. mean, what's the vibe like around the team? You kind of talked about it a little bit. What's the overall vibe knowing that you guys are still very much in contention for a conference title?
Right. I mean, we want to win the conference, but at the end of the day, if we control what we can control, which is playing these next 12 games as hard as we can and hopefully winning all 12, then I think we'll be in a pretty good spot, especially like you said, with Bushnell, UBC, and LC having to play each other again. They're three good teams. They're going to beat up on each other, and the Owls are going to be right where we want to be.
Well, one other notable thing about the schedule, you guys play your last four regular season series at home, including the one this past weekend. How much does it benefit you as a player to not have to travel for a full month?
A lot. Shoot, road trips are really hard, especially on the body. You don't eat the best. You don't maybe get the proper nutrition that you would at home. And especially having to share a bed with another guy, another grown adult, is kind of tough to get a good night's sleep. There's been times where the hotel maybe doesn't have the best breakfast. I remember in UBC, their culture's a little different than ours. So they had crepes and like little donut things. And where like in America, we get bacon and eggs, like potatoes. So that was a little different playing that series out there. But just being at home, being in front of our fans, it's really exciting. It's really firing up. It fires us all up, especially when we score runs and then our We Like to Party song comes on. The fans are all stomping on the bleachers, clapping. Our dugout's going crazy. We even have alumni in center field cheering out there. Last week was hot, so we had, if you guys remember, Patrick Armin. He's out there with his shirt off, like having a good time out there. Like it's a really good sight to see, especially alumni coming back to support us.
We're here with Oregon Tech Baseball senior second baseman Corey Siracusa. Now, I want to go back to the off season. At the beginning of August, you guys found out that your head coach, Jacob Garces, was going to be leaving to take the same job at Sonoma State. Then about a week later, it was announced that Ricky Walker would be the interim head coach for this season. Now, we talked with him about that transition when we had him on the show a couple months ago, but I want to get your perspective. First, how did you find out that Jacob Garces was leaving, and what was your reaction?
We got a random GroupMe message on a random weekday saying, urgent, need you guys to hop on a Zoom. So right away, we're all hopping on our team group chat, like, what the heck is going on? And somebody says, oh, I think I know what's going on. So they kind of spill it out for us. And so we hop on that Zoom call, and Coach Garces just tells us, like, what's going on. He's fully honest, transparent with us, which we all appreciated. And, yeah, and when I think within that week, we had a team meeting with all the returning players, most of the new guys, and we said we can go two ways about this. We could find a new coach, but not all of our spots would be secured. Like, that new coach could come in and cut all of us for all we know, and it's so late in the summer that other schools are starting and like our careers could be done. Or we could have Coach Walk come in, take over. He knows how we play, who we are, what our culture is about, and we were all in agreement with it. So I'm glad that was the end decision.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Ricky Walker talked about with us, is that like a lot of you guys just pretty much banded together and decided that you were going to stay here, didn't like totally independent of anything, any influence of the remaining coaches. It's pretty rare these days in college athletics. Normally a head coach leaves, you can expect at least some of those players to follow. You guys really only had one major contributor transfer out, Kyle Norton, who just went back to his old team at Georgia Gwinnett. Why do you think so many of you guys stayed?
I think it's the bond that we have as more than just baseball players on the same team. Like, I go fishing with a bunch of the guys. We have movie nights together. Right now, a bunch of the guys are watching Survivor together. They're having spaghetti for dinner and watching that. So just not even the relationships we have on the field. It's like the things we do off the field is what keeps us close, keeps us bonded. And I think us having a lot of the same majors, having the same classes, like struggling through those classes, having to do homework on the road, that all just kind of ties into our culture, our camaraderie, like the way we deal with each other.
I want to talk about your background now, because you've had quite the journey to get to Oregon Tech. You're from Hawaii originally, Oahu, graduated from high school in 2018, You went D1 initially at Cal State Fullerton, redshirted, then you went to JUCO for two seasons with College of San Mateo. Then after a year in D2 with Pittsburgh State, you came to Oregon Tech in 2023. What ended up drawing you to OIT?
It's a funny story. So my family is really religious. Me and my dad were talking, and you know, after transferring three times, it's kind of hard to find the school that will take you in. And we were just praying about it, contemplating about it, and my dad ends up calling me one morning and goes, "Hey, I had a dream." And I was like, "Oh, okay, like tell me about it." He goes, "You got a message from Oregon Tech. You went there, you played, you loved it, and you know, you graduated and you had the best college experience that you had." So I was like, "What the heck? I have nothing to lose at this point." I shoot a message to Coach Garces at the time, have a highlight video, kind of tell him a little bit about myself, and he calls me the next day. We talk, we chat, and a week later, he offered me.
So you hadn't had any contact with them before that?
Nope. It was just kind of, it was a message from a higher power, and I truly do believe that, and I believe that I was brought here for a reason. I believe that Oregon Tech was my eventual home in the end.
Gosh, did you even know anything about Oregon Tech?
I had a couple buddies come through the program. No buddies that I was really close with, but I mean, they were good high school players that I played against in the past, and they liked it. I didn't hear anything bad about the program.
Gosh, so I mean, you've now been a part of a team at almost every level of college baseball. You're only missing D3.
Right.
What were some things that you learned on this journey that were surprising, or that you think guys who are looking to play in college should know?
I think the biggest thing is how to have a positive mindset. I think baseball is such a hard game. It's a game of failure where you could be 3-for-10 and you're a Hall of Famer. Whereas in basketball, if you shoot 3-for-10, like, you're probably not going too far. In football, if you catch 3-of-10 passes, you're not playing. So just having a positive mindset that it is a game of failure. It's a hard game, but my JUCO coach used to word it as you want to be vanilla, where you could add some toppings to it. You could add a little spice, but in the end, like, it's just plain boring. It's vanilla. So I think probably just having the mindset that, you know, just because I strike out here doesn't mean I'm the worst player ever. It's intel for your next at bat. It's how do I let my struggles impact my teammates? How do I give that information to them so that way they can succeed as well? And I think that's why baseball is such an amazing sport. Like, it's such an individual game, but in the big picture of it, it's such a team game as well.
So you were a catcher in high school and college before you came to Oregon Tech. Then you moved to second base. How did that happen?
Well, I played a little bit of infield in high school. I played first base. I played shortstop. And then I caught my senior year of high school, and then that's kind of where I went to start out my college career. When I came here, it was more of, I want to play every day. I don't want to play every other game. So I had a good talk with Coach Garces. I said, "Hey, like, I can do this. I'm not the best right now. Like, I'm not familiar with it. I've been catching all my life, but this is what I want to do." And he was in full support of it. Him, Coach Kevin Olmstead, they worked with me a lot. And, you know, it's taken me 3 years now, and I'm still learning things on the infield that I had no idea about.
What was the hardest thing that you've had to adjust to?
I mean, just having rhythm. Like, infield's such an art. The ball can kick up, the ball can skip down, kick left or right, and just kind of being in sync with it, like learning how to read topspin balls, low-line drives, taking good angles left or right for balls. I think that's kind of been a big thing for me. And then even simple things like pop-ups. Pop-ups are tough just because I've been facing the other way as a catcher, so having to have it come towards me instead of away from me, like, that was a big adjustment for me.
We're here with Oregon Tech baseball senior second baseman Corey Siracusa. So something else I'm a little curious about, Puakea Milbourne with the Oregon Tech softball team is also from Hawaii and Oahu, like you. We had her on the show last year, and she talked a little bit about how the athletic community in Hawaii is pretty tight-knit. So I'm curious if you I know you two are a few years apart, but I'm curious if you knew of her at all before coming to Oregon Tech.
I didn't know. I've met her a couple times out here, and just seeing other local people out here is always exciting.
So let's talk about the future a little bit. I know the NCAA recently granted all athletes who played in the NAIA or in JUCO, they have a season of eligibility, D1 eligibility for next year. So I don't know if I understand the rule completely, but since you already did some time in the NCAA, are you going to be able to take advantage of that?
You know, even if I was, I've already decided I'm done after this year, no matter what happens. So I'm just trying to finish out the season strong and healthy. After this season, me and my girlfriend are moving out to Missouri. So she got a good teaching job out there. I'm working on finding a coaching job out there. But I've played in college a long time. So I've had my fair shares of up and downs, and after this season, that'll be it.
Yeah, speaking of coaching, you're going to be an assistant coach with the Medford Rogues this summer. Kevin Olmstead, I think who you mentioned, is the new head coach, and he's bringing you on board. How excited are you for that?
Yeah, I'm real excited. I've gotten a lot of experience through it. Like, I've gotten to recruit players from all around the country. I've gotten to call other coaches and see what they think about certain players. I've been referred from coaches to speak with their players, and it's just a really cool experience. It kind of shows me, I guess, right now while it's early, if this is what I really want to do or not.
So you're graduating with a business degree. Are you all in on coaching, or are you also looking for kind of a day job?
Right. So I actually graduated last summer with my business degree, and then I'm getting my master's in allied health this year, and then I'll be done with that in the fall. But so my original plan with it was to get my master's to become a head coach, since that's one of the requirements. But I mean, I'm open to any possibility. I was just talking to my girlfriend the other day where it's like, I'm moving to this new place, like the possibilities are endless. So I'm leaving kind of all my doors open, like no eggs unturned.
All right, a few more for you. Your walk-up song is Cold-Blooded Soldier by Top Shakers. So for you, what goes into picking a walk-up song, and what made that one stand out?
Right. I think just kind of having a song that you know, something that relaxes you, something that I like to jam out when I'm walking up. Like, I'm walking kind of, I call it my swag walk, where, like, it's kind of a limp, but I'm like, I don't know. I do this little walk thing when I'm walking to the plate. I'm just kind of jamming out, getting in my zone. The Top Shakas, he is from Oahu, actually. And one of my good buddies that I grew up playing baseball and football with, that was actually one of his good friends. So I texted him. I was like, hey, what do you think if I use your buddy's walk-up song as like a final tribute to like all the boys, just kind of finishing it out like for all the boys? And he was like, oh, yeah, like that's a good thing to do. So that's where I went with it.
That's great. Top Shakas, yep. Not Shakas. Okay, got it. What's your game day routine like? How do you get yourself ready physically and mentally?
Okay, so I'll wake up in the morning, do my morning routine, brush my teeth, and then I'll stand in the cold shower for as long as I can, hop out. I'll do that probably 3 or 4 times just to kind of get the body right, face a little adversity first thing in the morning. I think that's important. And then I'll get a cup of coffee. I'll make my breakfast, which will be eggs, turkey bacon, and 3 Eggos every game day. It has to be chocolate chip Eggos. And then every once in a while, I'll throw in some like avocado toast. But other than that, I started reading this book, David Goggins, You Can't Hurt Me. So I read about 10 pages every game day. And then I like to finish my morning off by getting dressed and then doing a handstand against the wall for as long as possible. And then I leave. I go to the field and just kind of go about my day.
Any other superstitions you've got?
No, nothing. I started wearing a mouthpiece, actually, just to kind of, it's called an airwave. So the research behind it was that it puts your jaw and your tongue into a proper position to get like optimal breathing. And I've had it in since the LC series, and it's kind of been working. So I'm going to stick with that.
So over the course of your baseball career, have there been any players that you've especially looked up to or tried to model your game after?
Professionally or like teammates?
Anyone who's had an impact on you.
I had a really good teammate my freshman year. His name's Jake Pavlicic, and he was a fifth-year super senior. He cared about the team a lot, and coming in as a freshman, I didn't really understand that. And I was kind of like, who is this guy that's always picking on me, like yelling at me, doing this and that? And through my years of college, I've learned that he did that because he cared, because he saw something in me, and I'm thankful for it. I called him about a year ago, and I was like, bro, I need to, first of all, tell you sorry for like getting mad at you, for getting mad at me, and thank you for doing that because I needed it. Like, without you, I don't know where my college career would be, if I'm being completely honest. I do like Jazz Chisholm. That's my favorite player. Just the swag, the energy that he brings out there on the field, and obviously Colton Wong. Colton Wong's a big one for us Hawaii boys.
Awesome. All right, last thing. You've got a lot of demands on your time as a college athlete. How do you relax, unwind?
I like to play video games, listen to music. I have a German Shepherd Bloodhound at home. His name's Bader, named after Harrison Bader. But I like to play with him. He's a real good dog. He knows more tricks than I've ever seen in a dog. He knows probably about 30 or 40. So, I mean, if you guys come out to the games, he's out there dressed up in an owl costume or wearing an Oregon Tech jersey. So, I mean, without him, I would be really stressed and handling things a lot different than I do now.
What's, like, the most unconventional trick he can do?
He knows this. It's called selfie. He'll sit down behind you, and you sit down in front of him, and he'll put his paw on your shoulder and then put his head on your other shoulder.
Oh, wow. That's great. All right. Oregon Tech baseball senior second baseman Corey Siracusa, we appreciate you stopping by. You get the last word. Any parting thoughts?
Nope. Thank you guys for having me. And come out to Bakke Field Friday, Saturday. Support the Owls. Let's go.
All right. Thank you again for stopping by, Corey Siracusa, with the Oregon Tech Owls baseball team. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to switch gears back to high school softball with Henley softball player Bell Birch. That's on the other side here on Ballin' in the Basin. Keep it locked.
Hi, I'm Rob Cedar, General Manager of Clown Falls Subaru. No doubt you've been hearing lots of talk about tariffs and how they will drive up car prices. They probably will, and right now, we're not sure what that's going to look like. Here is what we do know. We have dozens of new pre-tariff Subarus in stock. Right now, they're tariff-proof, and that's a good thing for you.
And I'm Jill. On top of a great selection and stable pricing, our pre-tariff Outbacks, Crosstrecks, Foresters, and Solterras all have super low finance rates.
Great rates like 3.9 on 2025 Outback, Crosstrek, and select Forester. Put a tariff-proof Subaru and a great finance rate together to get the car and the deal you want today.
As part of Subaru Loves the Earth and in partnership with the Arbor Day Foundation, Klamath Falls Subaru is providing trees at our store.
I'm Rob, and we're glad to know you. Always comfortable, never corporate. Stop by and say hi. Klamath Falls Subaru, open 7 days a week on Washburn Way. Or klamathfallssubaru.com.
And Matt Bowling back with you for Ballin' in the Basin tonight on 104.3 and 960 Sports. Continuing our program live from Geno's on East Main Street tonight. Still some time to stop on by and join us. So we got our second guest in the studio tonight.
We got Henley softball junior catcher Bell Birch with us in the booth. Bell, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you guys beat Mazama yesterday, but I think the biggest story for the team from the past week was going up to Bend on Saturday, sweeping a doubleheader with the Dalles Doofer. And in game one of that doubleheader, you drove in Michaela Schroeder from third for a walk-off. Walk me through that at-bat and how that unfolded for you.
That at-bat was really intense. There's a lot going on, and I knew I had to get her in and really focus on that run. But when I was up to bat, I was really focused on middle, making sure I got the ball down and making sure that I had the chance to score Michaela Schroeder.
Right. So it you came up, actually, with the runners on first and second,
yes.
But then a wild pitch let them advance. How did that shift your approach?
That showed me that I had to be really selective and make sure that I had the right pitch coming my way and didn't mess it up with a pitch that I couldn't have handled as well.
Last time Henley played the Dalles was the 2023 state championship game, which the Dalles won 16-0.
Yeah.
You played in that game.
Yes,
how cathartic was it to be able to walk them off your next time seeing them, even though it was 2 years later?
Yeah. I will be honest, it was a really good feeling. Obviously, it wasn't the same team we played in the state game, but it was still a good feeling to be able to walk through them and realize that we weren't as bad as we were before.
So you guys are you're now on a 6-game winning streak after you started the season 1-2. Both of those losses came on the first day of the North Medford Spring Break Tournament, but you came back the next day and got 2 run rule wins. Mm-hmm. What was the spark there? How did you guys turn things around, not just the next day, but then you continue that momentum through your next 4 games?
I think we're always really focused on next pitch and next at bat. We don't really like to hang on to our mistakes or our past games. We like to look forwards and keep our pressure and our, basically our goodness, our heads lightheaded.
So you have your home opener on Friday against Hidden Valley New Hope Christian. They have a pitcher transfer in from 6A Grants Pass, Scarlett Gordon. She's committed to Iowa Central Community College. Have you had the chance to learn anything about her, see what kind of stuff she's throwing?
Not yet. All I've really heard is that she is fast and she knows how to work her pitches and she's pretty accurate. So that'll be good for us because we handle better on fast pitchers than we do slow.
You've got a new head coach this year, Scott White. We had him on the show a few weeks ago. His daughter, Gracie, is your classmate and has been your teammate for 3 years now. So I'm guessing you kind of already knew him.
Yeah, I did. He used to coach a travel team, so I'm pretty used to his coaching, and he's an amazing coach. He knows what he's doing.
What's unique about him as a coach? What would you say are, you know, most unique, best qualities?
His best qualities are he's really uplifting. He knows what he's talking about in the game, and if we're ever down or anything, he knows what to say to bring us right back up. And what's unique about him is he always has these like cheesy quotes, like whenever we're feeling down or before practice, and I think it just gives us our spark to keep going.
Is there any like new fun things that he's brought into the program this year?
21 outs, it's like a game back and forth. You have to get 3 outs and then you keep going up from there. If you make a mistake, you start back over at 0. So you have to keep going up to 21. But that's pretty fun. We enjoy it.
We got Henley softball junior catcher Belle Birch in the booth with us. Let's talk about you some. You were second team All-State as a catcher last year, as a sophomore. But as a freshman, you played first base. How did that position change happen?
The position change happened. I've always caught. I was needed at first base my freshman year. And then Fitzy, you know, she graduated, so I got moved in. And that position takes a lot of pressure and basically being very, very, very mentally well and physically well. But I think, you know, I think I was needed there. And I guess I was the best position or best player to have there.
Was there any challenges for you kind of readjusting to catching?
Yeah, there was. It's very different than first base, obviously. I guess I had to get used to blocking again and having the ball in my face all the time, you know. It's kind of intense.
Yeah, talking about blocking, I mean, I know that there were a few balls in the dirt yesterday. You blocked pretty well. How much time do you spend on that?
Blocking? I don't know. We do drills almost every day whenever we have the chance, and we're always doing bullpen, so I'm always blocking during those. It's kind of just like a routine at this point. You don't really think about it too much now.
So last season you spent the majority of your time, really vast majority of your time, catching one pitcher, Annie Campos. Mm-hmm. This year you're seeing a lot of action from 2 pitchers, Gracie White and Riley Hollingsworth. Yes. I know you did catch Gracie a little bit last year, but Riley's a freshman, so she's totally new. Mm-hmm. How do you go about getting to know a pitcher and learning the nuances of how they throw and what they like to throw?
I like putting them in, like, I guess you could say sticky situations. I like seeing what pitches they can handle when we have this amount of pressure, then what works really well when we don't have that amount of pressure, you know? And they handle it very well. They work their hardest. I'm so proud of them for what they do.
Now, speaking of freshmen, your younger sister, Olivia, and I think you call her Ollie, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
She's on the team this year. How are you liking getting to play with her?
I enjoy it so much. It's such a privilege to have her on the team with me. She makes my day almost better every time I see her, and she's always screaming in the dugout, or if she's out on the field, she's so loud. I love it. I adore it.
So for this season, what are your individual goals for yourself?
My individual goals are to be first team All-State catcher, first team All-League, I guess, and then to hit an inside pitch, pretty much. be able to handle that better than I have.
So what's your game day routine like? How do you try to get yourself ready physically and mentally?
Game day starts off with school, obviously, my morning routine, which is going to zero period, which is a weights class. And I just get myself locked in and get myself loose and in there, and I focus on like situations that I might have during the game, because a lot of these teams I faced and I played. So I like putting myself in situations and seeing how the outcomes would go.
You have like a playlist, anything like that, that you get pumped up to?
Not really. I kind of, this might sound weird, but I like listening to sad music, because it's like, I don't know how to explain it to you. It gets me in a good mood. It gets me locked in and focused.
What kind of like, who's your go-to there to get you the sad music?
I don't really know. It's kind of just a little like radio that just plays sad music. I don't really know how to explain.
Interesting.
It to you. Yeah.
Any superstitions, anything like that?
If I don't tuck my laces in, I think I'll always trip. And I think I've been doing that since my sophomore year, because I did trip my sophomore year at some point. So I've always tucked in my laces, and if I have one untucked, I like freak out. So that's what
I mean. It's valid. It's valid. Yeah. Over the course of your softball career, have there been any players that you've especially looked up to or tried to model your game after?
Yes, Annie Campos, obviously, and Lily Fitzpatrick, the best, huge idols of mine, and I've always looked up to them. Annie's always had a super huge leader mentality, and Fitzy has always been right on her game, never like out of her mind or anything, so that's who I looked up to.
So looking toward the future, coming up on the end of your junior year, have you started to think about your post-high school plans yet?
Yeah, I have. I'm thinking about college here and there. I'm not really sure if I want to play or not, but I'm hoping that'll change come soon.
You sorting through a bunch of college mail? Is that?
No, not really.
No.
No, I've just been thinking, you know.
Maybe it's changed, but I remember being a junior. That's when they start flooding you with college mail. Like, you get stuff every day from places you haven't even heard of.
No, yeah, that's what I've heard. I have our other pitcher, Gracie White, she gets emails on and on and on. And it's like this app that you can get, and it's all about recruiting and stuff. So I guess I definitely need to get on the app if I do want to play in college.
All right, last question for you. It's the one we ask all of our guests. With all the demands on you being a student and an athlete, how do you unwind?
How do I unwind? I think I just go home and pet my dog and just relax, and I'll talk to Ollie, my little sister, about the games or my day, and just have fun and make jokes.
Tell me about it, because you're our second guest tonight who has a dog. We were talking with Corey Siracusa about his dog. Tell me about your dog.
Well, he's a pit bull. He's huge, the biggest love bug ever. He goes crazy whenever I get home, and it was actually just his birthday yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was a good day. He's, I think, 8 years old now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's an old puppy.
What's his name?
Max.
Max, all right. Henley softball junior catcher Belle Birch, we appreciate you coming in. You get the last word. Any parting thoughts?
No, I just appreciate you guys for having me, and thank you for these questions and this interview.
Belle Birch, Henley softball player, joining us tonight on Ballin' in the Basin. You can catch her and her teammates on Friday on mybasin.com. As Henley continues the season, we'll have a free live broadcast there at Henley High School as they take on Hidden Valley. We're going to take a break here on the show, Ballin' in the Basin, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the program. So keep it here, 104.3 and 960 Sports.
Join Smith Bates as we cheer on our local teams. You have to be pretty tough to endure the spring sports season in Klamath Falls. I think we'd all agree the coldest we've ever been is at a high school track me or Little League baseball game. Our athletes deserve to be cheered on no matter what Mother Nature cooks up. If you're in need of sponsorship banners, sports programs, uniforms, or just about anything with a logo, look no further than Smith Bates. We're your one-stop shop for design, print, web, apparel, and promo. Call us today at Smith Bates, where we make you look really good.
Matt Bowling back with you tonight for Ballin' in the Basin here on 104.3 and 960 Sports. We are broadcasting live from Geno's on East Main Street. Close to wrapping up tonight's show, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about our Athlete of the Week. Forgot to do that a little bit earlier, so let's do some housekeeping.
I'm looking at Tyler Horner of Oregon Tech Baseball, teammate of our first guest, Corey Siracusa. senior catcher in that weekend series against Eastern Oregon, was 6-for-15 at the plate with 7 RBI. But on Sunday, he hit home runs in both games, becoming the first player in Cascade Conference history to reach the 40 career home run mark. You put your name in the record books, you get one of our Geno's gift cards. Tyler Horner, our athlete of the week.
Yeah, just remarkable the last couple of seasons. Sorry about that. Just remarkable the last couple of seasons that he's had, and certainly deserving of our athlete of the week. Got a couple of minutes left on the program. Just want to touch on the Oregon Tech softball team very briefly. Picked up a couple of wins yesterday against Simpson. And that would be 5 consecutive wins for them heading into a road series against Warner Pacific. A little bit different for them playing on Saturday and Sunday instead of Friday and Saturday, but a good couple of opportunities for Tech to take on a sub-500 Cascade Conference team. One thing that was interesting in the Cascade Conference softball, Corbin defeating Southern Oregon this past weekend, a team that's 2-32 beating number one. That's remarkable.
Mike Safford said that might be the biggest upset in NAIA softball history.
Or, yeah, could be close to college softball history. I mean, we're talking about Southern Oregon, a multiple-time national champion. That's crazy. I read that and I was dumbfounded. Just, I guess, goes to show you anyone can win on any day in the Cascade Conference. Nearing close to the end of our program tonight, I want to remind you we'll be out and active at Henley High School on Friday as we cover Henley baseball and softball taking on Hidden Valley and New Hope Christian. Those games both start at 5 o'clock, single 7-inning games, both broadcast for free on mybasin.com. Any final thoughts before we hop off?
Yeah, quick housekeeping note. We are going to be moving this show to Thursdays going forward because Henley baseball and softball are going to be playing on the next several Wednesdays. So obviously we want to be able to do those games and have this show. Yeah. So Ballin' in the Basin will now be on Thursdays until further notice.
Keep your eyes on our social media. We'll keep you updated on the show change times and whatnot. But until then, we will see you next Thursday here on Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports.